In one of the money books I read one time, I came upon a little quiz, a kind of projective test designed to help you identify your money style. It was developed by a psychiatrist and a vice president for Merrill Lynch. It appealed to the psychologist in me. I didn't know I had a money style, so I was curious to see what it would say about me. The authors say the test has no real scientific validity, but in my case, it was almost painfully accurate. The questions are about a variety of things besides money, so it's not immediately obvious where your answers are taking you. The authors outline four dominant money styles. Mine turned out to be the under-involved. Exactly right. I don't like the subject. I don't manage my money well. The whole project makes me anxious or bored or depressed. I figured out my financial net worth one time and came up with a negative number. Which brings me to the fact that my next highest score put me with the money style called the spenders. The other two styles are the enthusiasts, which was my third highest score, and the skeptics, those who worry or tend to be miserly, where I had hardly any score at all. The authors suggest that each of us has a dominant money style and that it governs what we do about money, no matter what the size of our incomes. We each have made a kind of agreement with money, an emotional deal. The under-involved, like me, we wish the whole subject would go away because it's too much of a hassle. We're artful dodgers. We change the subject or leave it to others. The dodger's agreement with money is, I'll work to get you, but I won't work to take care of you. Short of disaster, I don't want to hear anything from you or know anything about you. Dodgers are the underachievers of money styles. The meaning money has for the under-involved is anxiety or dependency. The spender thinks of money as a useful tool, and overspending becomes a motive to work harder, to continue to grow. The spender's agreement with money is fairly innocuous. If I spend you, you will make me feel better. The style is only disabling if the debt becomes too large. Sometimes that happens when spending is used to alleviate sadness or depression. The meaning money has for spenders is action and freedom. The enthusiasts are the jocks of money styles. Money is the measure of their worth. Hard work, enthusiasm, and teamwork are their characteristics. The jocks' agreement with money is, if I work hard for money, money will give me the feeling of camaraderie, of competition I felt most when I was playing sports in school. The jock usually does make lots of money and find camaraderie, but sometimes has problems with intimate relationships. Another type of enthusiast is the hustler, the person who is always on the alert for a deal, an angle, or a scheme. The hustler's drive may come from low self-esteem or a desire to show people who have put them down in the past. Such drives can become destructive when they turn to greed or revenge. The meaning money has for the enthusiasts is power, freedom, and self-esteem. And finally, there are the skeptics. These are the pessimists, the worriers, and the misers. The pessimist's agreement with money is, I'm willing to work as hard for you as the next person, but come what may, you will let me down. The pessimist feels most comfortable spending as little as possible and avoiding major purchases. Another kind of skeptic is the miser, for whom money is control. Misers have unrealistic fantasies of poverty and are unable to let go of a penny without feeling pain. Some misers, though, are only miserly to themselves and may give generously to others. A third kind of skeptic is the worrier, the person who is obsessively worried about every check written or deposit made, for whom money is at once a terrifying subject and one that cannot be left alone. Very often it is easier for such a person to worry about money than to look at the problems in one's life. For all these skeptics, the meaning of money is security and control. I've outlined these various money styles today because I think it's important for members of this congregation to understand each other's quirks when it comes to money. There are always a few people on the board, maybe not this year, but will be next year or the year after, whose money style is to be under-involved. When the subject of a canvass comes up, they may manage to persuade us to postpone the discussion until the next month, because the whole subject makes them anxious. Or they may even persuade us not to bother with a real canvass. After all, we under-involved money people really don't want someone coming to talk to us about money, of all things. How boring. We forget about the skeptics among our members who may need that added bit of personal concern and reassurance in order to be able to part with their money. We might do well to consider money style when we ask someone to take on certain responsibilities. Now, this is not meant to be critical of the incumbents. I have no idea what their money styles are. But to chair a finance committee or direct the canvass, we really need the enthusiasts, the money jocks, the energetic, hardworking members who think money is great and teamwork essential in bringing it in. On the other hand, when we think about a treasurer, maybe we should turn to the careful skeptic who loves to keep detailed records and is deeply concerned about our financial security. When we form a long-range planning committee, maybe we need to consider those risk-taking spenders who are willing to dream big, to nudge the rest of us toward visions of greater activity and shining new projects. We need to be aware of and value all these money styles. They're like the diverse ingredients in a simmering pot of stone soup. For it to taste really good, we need to ask for and to savor them all. Even the under-involved, who can sometimes remind us that money is a means to an end, not an end in itself. Money is a necessary means for making many of our dreams come true. Dream big. Build wonderful castles in the air. Then send those enthusiastic money jocks out there to raise the money for the castle's foundation. Let's take a few moments now to reflect in silence about what this congregation means to you, and what dreams and hopes you have for its future, and what amount of money you are willing and able to pledge this year to make those dreams come true.